So welcome to the Befriending the Inner Rebel exercise. This is from the Inner Rebel worksheet, and this is the audio companion where I'm going to walk you through this process of making space for and meeting and caring for the inner rebel. So I invite you, wherever you're at right now, to settle into a comfortable position. Ideally, if you're sitting down somewhere, you can take a few deep breaths. Really settle in. You can feel your feet on the ground. Maybe feel your back on the chair. Feeling all the ways that you are already supported in this moment. You may find it helpful to close your eyes. That can help you center within here with your experience. So I invite you to bring to mind a situation where you felt your inner rebel arise. This can be something that happened recently, or maybe something that you're experiencing right now. Maybe your inner rebel is really getting activated. Or maybe it's some time ago in the past. But pick a situation that feels workable. You want to pick a situation, say on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not a lot of reactivity and 10 being feeling really triggered and really reactive. Pick something that's in that 4 to 5 range. You don't want to pick something where there's trauma, where you could feel like you're re-traumatized or something of really, really strong intensity, as that won't really serve this exercise. So if you have a situation in mind, or it's something that you're experiencing right now, just take a moment to feel into that. And as you're feeling into this situation, I invite you to continue to take some deep breaths and just to soften. There's so much room for your inner rebel. There's so much room for this part of you. There's so much room for whatever feelings are there. So we might say we can make space for it, but the truth is there's already space for it. You actually don't have to make that space. That space is already there for this experience, for your reactions, for the ways you're feeling triggered or activated. So there's all kinds of space for it. And see if you can allow this part of you to just be here. Okay, this is how it is right now. This is how I'm feeling. The inner rebel's here. You don't have to change it. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to try to make your reactions to it differently. Just whatever you're feeling towards it, whatever you're feeling, it can just all be here right now. Just allow it to be. And try putting a hand on your heart or a hand on your belly to really have that sense of physical touch, to know that it's really okay, to see if you can soften, feel a softening towards this part of you and these reactions that you're having. So as you're connecting with this inner rebel and really feeling those responses and the reactions, can you identify the emotions that you're feeling? Where do you feel the inner rebel in your body? Is it in your belly? Do you feel tightness in your belly? Is it a tightness in your shoulders or a tightness in your jaw? Do you feel tension in your face? Is your heart racing? So what are you feeling in your body, and where are you feeling that inner rebel? Where are you feeling all those reactions? And what kind of emotions arise? What's your inner dialogue saying? Is there a part of you that's saying, oh my goodness, it's here again. I feel scared and I want this part to go away. Is there a part of you that's saying, oh, this is really, really bad? Is there a part of you that feels justified, like, yeah, it's about time you showed up? Is there a part of you that maybe feels frustrated? sense of, oh, I'm here again. So again, all your reactions and all your emotions, it's okay. It's okay for them to be there. So just allow it to be there. There's that space that can exist. And as you're feeling into your body where you feel that inner rebel and feeling those emotions and those thoughts and feeling them come and go, see if you can come closer. There's all these responses of the inner rebel. Maybe it's a feeling of power and a feeling of a strong drive to say no, or a strong drive saying it's not fair, or a strong drive saying you can't make me, I don't want to. Maybe it's just felt as a more subtle counterforce where you feel someone asking something of you. There's a part of you that rises up that just wants to say no to that, or wants to say something against it, wants to be a little bit contradictory. And see if you can move underneath these, you might think of them as top-level reactions, the responses of the inner rebel, all the emotions that arise around the inner rebel, the thoughts. And see if you can touch the vulnerability that's underneath these more obvious reactions. This is where we bring in more intimacy, and this is where we're connecting a little bit deeper. And sometimes I find it helpful to directly ask this part, what is it that you would like to say to me? What are you needing? What's the vulnerability underneath these other reactions? Is it a fear that your own voice will be drowned out, that you won't have a say? Is it a fear that you'll be overpowered in a painful way? Is there grief? Is there sadness? Are there some places of hurt underneath? Are there places of discouragement? A sense of, I've been trying so hard. I'm so frustrated. This isn't working. Is it a part of you that feels afraid to try? Or afraid to hope? I feel so frightened that if I actually try this or move out there or try to make things different, that nothing will work and I'll just end up exactly where I'm at now. Perhaps there's a feeling of shame underneath the inner rebel, a feeling of shame that it gets so activated. Maybe it's a desire for sovereignty or power. So as you're touching this vulnerability and this tenderness, you can think of it as the soft underbelly underneath the inner rebel. These places in us that carry tenderness. What is this vulnerability? What is it needing, or what is it longing for? Are you needing holding? Are you needing empathy? Are you needing understanding? Someone witnessing? That warm, loving presence that can just say, I really understand. I see how hard this is for you. and I understand how you feel. It's okay. Do you need space to feel that grief and sadness? Are you longing for compassion? Are you longing for care? That sense of nurturing. And whatever need that you're tapping into, those needs underneath the inner rebel, the vulnerability and the longings, just take as long as you need to be with those parts, to allow them to be there, and to allow this nurturing and care to really sink in. This might be another instance where maybe you give yourself a hug, and you feel your hand on your heart where you're connecting to yourself physically. And for this part of the exercise, you might actually reach out and ask to be held by a loved one or a friend. Or to do this in connection with a healing support person or a therapist where there's that warm support with you. But care for these longings, care for these needs. Often underneath strong feelings like the inner rebel, under that surface level, we'll find some kind of fear, some kind of anger. And underneath that, we often find some kind of grief, some real tender emotions. And often underneath that grief, we find longing. We find dreams and hopes and desires. I sometimes think of them as prayers in disguise. If your inner rebel had a voice, what would it say? Please love me. Please see me. Please care for me. Please hear me. Please make room for me. Maybe they'd say, I feel scared and overwhelmed and I don't know what to do. I need support. Or I feel scared and overwhelmed and I need it to be taken in smaller bite-sized chunks. Underneath that inner rebel, there might be a need and a desire and a sense of direction about the kind of care that we're needing. So as you're offering this part of you nurturing, you can take a moment to step back and reconnect with the inner rebel, that part. And you can ask, how is it feeling now? Is it feeling softer? Is it feeling heard? You can even try asking this part of you if it'd be willing to step aside, that you're okay, that you appreciate how it's rising, and that you're okay. You can thank it for the way that it's helped you. And in so many ways, let it know it's okay. And see if this part is willing to soften and step aside. So that's the process of going within, bringing to mind the situation where we get really triggered by the inner rebel, and then being with those sensations in the body, the feelings, the emotions, and then using that as a doorway then to feel the needs that are underneath that, to feel the vulnerability, and to connect to that those places in us that are tender and that really long for nurturing and care. And we offer that nurturing and care to these parts of ourselves. And we can also seek out support and nurturing for those parts of ourselves. This process is an ongoing one, meaning you may have to go through several rounds. In my experience, it's not something we can do just once and all of a sudden the inner rebel's quiet. And because this is a relationship, it's not a formula. So if you think about the relationships that you have with people in your life, like a child or a partner or a friend or a coworker, those are dynamic living things. And so your relationship with all these inner parts is also a dynamic living thing. So it's going to ebb and flow and it's going to change. And so there's going to be several rounds that you'll go through in this process. You might go through this process today when your inner rebel is getting triggered, and you might go through this process again next week when you're at work and you feel all this resistance bubbling up to something that a coworker suggests. Or maybe the next week you feel this resistance with your partner. So these are all opportunities to connect. And sometimes they're very quick in the sense of we can pretty quickly recognize, oh, I'm really being triggered here. And there can be a sense of, all right, what's going on in this moment? I'm having a strong reaction, where you're moving into that space of, okay, something's coming up in me, and there's that connecting to that space and offering it some compassion. So sometimes the process, particularly if it's something on the more mild spectrum, it just might take a minute or two where there's some movement. But sometimes when we get into the inner rebel, we get into layers, and those layers take some unwrapping. So there might be multiple layers or rounds that you go through. And if this part of you has felt kind of pushed down for a while, it might have a lot to say, meaning it might take its time. You might be surprised at all that comes up. And in my experience, as we make space for these parts of us to arise and to relate to them, that two things happen. We start to feel more comfortable with them and the process itself. We don't feel quite so frightened. And the energy starts to move and soften a bit. Now, if you find yourself when doing this exercise, if you find that you keep getting repetitively stuck in really sticky and really intense parts, if it's touching on things that feel like they're not sensations, or it's not grief that you can feel on your own, then that might be a sign that you need deeper support. And it also can be a sign, if it's really, really intense, that you're touching on some places with trauma. So I invite you to bring wisdom into this process and to not feel like this is the only way to care for your inner rebel. It's one way. That there are other ways to care for this part of your being as well. And it may be that for some of that intense or sticky stuff, that needs the support of a trauma therapist or some other kind of a support group or some other form of therapeutic support. So use your discernment about the process when you notice that you're sensing, yeah, I think I can need more support there. So the last step of this process is when you come back after being with the inner rebel. Sometimes what we find is, as those surface reactions and emotions have some space to move a bit, as they have some space to soften, kind of like if you've got a windshield on your car and you can only see out of a small bit of it, as you clean the windshield, you can see more in front of you. As we clean in the sense of these energies have a space to move a bit, they're not all clouding up the windshield, we can often see more. And what we may see is we might see some different ways of responding to the inner rebel. Some new actions might arise. So let's say before doing this exercise and you're stuck in this situation where it feels like you only have one of two choices. You either do something and you get really active, your inner rebel gets really activated, or you don't get it, don't do it. And then you feel really frustrated that you weren't able to do this thing that you were wanting to do. So when we're caught in that kind of space where it only feels like there's one of two options and neither of them feel very good, that can be really painful. And what this experience can do is it can unearth or reveal, rather, oh, there are other responses. There's other ways of doing this. And let me give you an example of this so it can feel a little bit more clear. My husband and my boys were going somewhere, and where they were going involved getting up early. And it was on a morning when I really wanted to get more sleep. I was feeling tired. And I also wanted to connect and be with my husband and our boys. So I felt this sense of, okay, I want to go, and I also want to get some sleep. So I set my alarm, and the morning of this event, my alarm went off. I turned my alarm off, and I fell back asleep. And I woke up about 15 minutes before the time when we needed to go. And I felt all this inner conflict and all this frustration because I really wanted to go, and yet I didn't feel like I had enough time to get ready. And so I got up and I was getting ready, and I could tell in getting dressed and getting ready that I wasn't going to be ready in time. And my husband really wanted to be on time, because if he was on time, there was this brunch beforehand, this really delicious brunch, and he wanted to have that space to eat breakfast and to also connect with the other people. It was actually one of the most, for him, most nurturing parts of going. So he really, really wanted to go and wanted to be on time. And I could feel all this resistance rising in me and all this frustration, because I wanted to go and be with my husband and my boys, but I could feel like, oh, I'm not going to be done in time. I'm not going to be ready. And so I told my husband, I said, you all just go and I'll see if I can get ready and I can meet you there. And I felt all this kind of sadness arise in me, and it actually triggered a whole other part that kind of feels left out and feels insignificant. And I felt really stirred up, and I thought, okay, here's my opportunity. So I sat with all that kind of resistance of feeling like, oh, I don't know that I want to go, and why is this something that we have to get up early for? All that kind of frustration. And I also sat with that part of me that felt insignificant, like, oh, does my experience or my needs matter? That part of me that felt left out. And I went through the process that I just walked you all through. And I sat with all those feelings. And the core need that I got to when I went through this was really a sense of connection and belonging. I really wanted to feel that sense of connection with my family. And the longing underneath that was a sense of that, a kind of a unity, like, oh, we're going to do this together, and that we're going to work together so that it works for all of us. So it's like I wanted to feel like my experience mattered too. So there was a longing for some kind of significance. So I had this need for belonging and this longing for significance. And I just sat with those feelings for a while. And what arose for me after that, because before this, the only ways out I saw was either my husband and my boys waited for me and they were late, which didn't really work for my husband, or I rushed and left before I was ready, which didn't really work for me. And what arose in this space was, oh, there are other options here. Because when I really sat with it, I realized the extra time that I needed to get ready was about 6 or 7 minutes, particularly if I was going to be eating breakfast there and I didn't have to eat beforehand. The time I needed really wasn't 30 minutes or 35 minutes. It was 6 or 7. But I was feeling frantic because I knew my husband wanted to go. So I didn't feel like I had the time to take that time to get ready. And so the new response that arose for me, the action that I could ask was I could directly ask my husband, hey, I got up late and I really want to go with you all and I want to be there for you with the brunch. Could you wait for 6 to 7 minutes for me while I get ready? And at that point, at whatever state I'm at, we'll go. And I couldn't see that option before because I was feeling too panicked and because I was feeling too frustrated and because I was feeling too frazzled. It's like the window was all foggy. I just couldn't see. And that new possibility opened up. So that's just a small example of the kind of things that, we can see when we care for all the feelings that are underneath. So new things arise, new ideas may arise, new insights, things that you might have felt blinded to before. And that can feel really empowering, and it can feel very grounding, a sense of, oh, there's another way through. There's another way to go about this. And that can be some of the fruit of this process of relating to and being with the inner rebel. And in my experience, we can't short-circuit that. And what I mean by that is, if we approach this process as a formula, as trying to get a fixed result, in my experience, it doesn't work. So when I've approached myself in that way, or when I've approached myself in a way that's really cognitive, and what I mean by that, it's almost like I'm jumping ahead, where I don't actually want to feel, ooh, ouch, this hurts. Ouch, I'm feeling triggered. Ouch, I'm feeling left behind. Ouch, I'm feeling frustrated. All those painful feelings, that if I'm just trying to go to a kind of a mental space with them, like, oh, it doesn't really matter, or it's not intentional, all those kind of mental arguments we can kind of make with ourselves. In my experience, if we go to that place before we've actually made room and really feel what's there, that it doesn't really work. What I find is that those energies haven't moved. I'm just using those kind of mental ideas to push it down a bit. And it comes out later. So it comes out later that day, or it comes out later that week, and it comes out stronger. Because the energy, I haven't been with it. There hasn't been an organic movement. I'm just in a very subtle way with this exercise, still trying to control it and still trying to make it go away. So it's being with and actually feeling those emotions, because they're energy, and they can and they do move and shift. And that movement and shifting is not a mental pushing. It comes from that space of first simply allowing it to be there. So when you're going through this exercise, a phrase that I find really helpful, and this is one that I've heard from a teacher, I don't remember which one, I think it's a Zen teacher, that would respond when really strong feelings would arise, anger or frustration or fear or sadness, he would say, "I agree." And I love that, because it's affirming for that part of you that does feel scared, or that feels overwhelmed, or that feels frustrated, or that feels angry, of, yeah, this is how you're feeling right now. That's okay. And it's a really beautiful and counterintuitive paradox, that the more we make room for the things that feel uncomfortable, the greater the opportunity there is for them to shift and move. So Carl Rogers famously said, you know, it's only when I accept myself as I am that I can change. It's only when we make room for our experience right now, exactly as it is, that it has any capacity or space for it to shift and move. So again, it's like you're entering into the river of this process and trusting that that river can and it will take you somewhere. And often where it takes us is to a space of greater intimacy with ourselves. It can bring us to greater intimacy with others, because as we relate to these sticky and challenging places within ourselves, it can soften us so that we can relate to the others around us with some more patience or understanding of, okay, yeah, the same feelings that I have, I can see that you feel them too. It becomes part of our shared common humanity, which is one aspect of compassion, that, oh, others feel this too. I'm not the only one who feels this. And it also can, as you're feeling that sense of greater intimacy with yourself, it also opens up this space where transformation can occur. So there's a tenderness that can come with this, a softness. You might feel more grounded or more centered. You might feel more empowered when you have that sense of, oh, here's how I can move forward with this. And those parts of you that are under the inner rebel, those parts of you that felt grief, or those parts of you that were holding strong sensations of fear and anger, they've been invited to, and they've had a place where they can be witnessed and seen. So that's the journey through the process of befriending the inner rebel. And I hope that this process is a good friend and one tool, so to speak. Or rather than a tool, you can think of it as one approach. It's one way that you can approach your inner rebel. There are others too, but this is one that I found really helpful, and I hope it's a good friend to you as well.